One, we got to get back into it right now, and so we had a a practice yesterday, and we'll continue kind of wash, rinse, repeat of Monday, a normal game week right now. So I think the guys are ready at this point to get back out there on the field. It was unique to go out there and you have fall camp, then you have a game and you get all amped up for it, and then all of a sudden you're off again. So not a bad thing, just different. And I think we handled it pretty well. I think we have good leadership on this team, and our plan was pretty good, I think. And we'll find out on next Saturday how good it was.
First question this morning from Kevin Chesley. Good morning, Chaz.
Good morning, Rob. Thanks. Coach Carty, what was the potential you first saw in Melkart Abou-Jaaudé when you saw the first tape of him? And what's it like to see a guy seize the opportunity from such unheralded beginnings the way he has?
Yeah, really proud of Melkart. Unique story, as you are alluding to. I don't know how far back he went when he talked with you, but I knew about him when I was actually down in Texas. I was getting the same text messages from a buddy of mine who was in that area, like, "Hey, this kid's really good. Nobody's recruiting him." And I was like, "Well, we're probably not going to take a walk-on defensive end from New Jersey down in Sam Houston." And so when I got here, it was a little bit easier to get him on campus and see, what kind of legitimate size and interest he had in us. And just a completely raw, talented human being. He really was coming in and has just put his head down, worked really hard, taken to coaching. And the intensity that he brings, I think, is something that's always needed at that position. It's not an easy position to play. You have to be able to body those guys up inside, but also have that ability and length to go make a play on the edge. And Melkart has both of those things. And so we're really happy that he's here, proud of him that he's progressed in the way that he has, and can't wait to see what's next in the future for him, because I think he's got a bright one.
Thanks, Coach.
You got it.
Ryan, next question from Andy Walter. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, Ryan. Hey, you talked a little bit about Steven Dymbowski after the game against Bryant. How did he do in the second half of the game? And just talk a little bit about his patience and waiting to get an opportunity.
Yeah, Dembo played really well in the second half of the game. Again, another kid that I'm really proud of, the way that he has progressed. And I think the thing that goes understated at times is, how well people are working in the background, how hard they're working so that they're ready when their chance comes. And that's something that you don't see until it happens. We see it as coaches, and we keep prodding it. And it's easy sometimes, even as coaches, to overlook the guys that are second in line or third in line. But those are the guys that are going to be first in line pretty darn soon. And hopefully, not too soon, but sometimes sooner than you want them to be. And, you'll find out right away how hard somebody worked in that time when the spotlight wasn't necessarily on them. You'll find out how well we did as coaches preparing those student athletes to be the next guys up. And, next man up, I've said this before, next man up mentality only works when you have the right men to go in and you have the right preparation that those guys have given themselves and given their teammates and given their coaches. So, again, proud of Steven. I think he did a really nice job over the last year and a half at becoming somebody who was not going to be serviceable in there. It was going to be, pushing for one of the starting jobs in the front five.
Ryan, last week when we talked about the offense and the great game Ryan O'Connor had with four touchdown passes, we didn't really talk about the receiver group. And JoJo Bermudez was a guy that we got to see a lot of last year and saw his talents as, especially as a return guy. But now, as he's kind of climbed the depth chart at receiver, how have you seen his talents grow and grow into that position?
Yeah, I think another person who's really matured, and I think it's funny, we talk about a lot, development versus transfers in this profession. And I think that doesn't have to be mutually exclusive personally. I think we are a developmental program here, even though we take transfers. And so JoJo is one of those guys. I mean, he was a true freshman basically when we took him as a transfer. And so I think sometimes we forget those things when people are young, just because they came from a different program doesn't mean that they're ready made. And I think JoJo really needed to continue to learn how to be a college receiver, and he had the talent to do it from start. And then he had to continue to get his leg better. When he first got here, he was still recovering from a surgery, and by the time he got ready to go, you know, I think it was one of those that he didn't have the depth of knowledge that he has now of the offense. I think he was more of a guy that we used in those auxiliary roles and, you know, as a speed guy and as a return guy. And now he can go be the number one guy for us in this offense based on his explosiveness and now his ability to practice really well and understand where to line up and the nuances of playing the slot position in the outside and be able to be, you know, variable in where we line him up because he understands it all. And so really proud of him and the progression that he's made. Because, you know, it'd be easy to sit there and say, well, I'm going to do this one thing and I'm going to be good at it. But he wants to know everybody's spots. He wants to know, you know, the whole route combination, not just what he has, so that he can be maneuverable.
Follow up from Kevin. Go ahead, Kevin.
Thanks, Rob. Hey, Ryan, North Carolina A&T has had a couple guys rush for 100 yards. They have a quarterback who you guys, you know, went up against last year when he was just a freshman. Obviously, he's got more experience now. What are some of the qualities they have and the challenges that you will face down there on Saturday?
Yeah, I think they're a really well coached team. I think it would be the first thing. I think they play with an edge. I think they have talent out there, and you know, they're sound and tough. You know, I think offensively they have a couple of guys like you said that can kind of burst. They have a little thunder and lightning package in the backfield, and the quarterback has taken progression steps kind of each game that he plays. You can kind of see him getting a little bit better, and then, you know, defensively, I think they're really good in the back end. I think they have, you know, a very good secondary. They're long, they're fast, they're twitchy. You know, I hope Prunty's okay. You know, I think he seems to be okay, according to Coach Brown. And so, hopefully, you know, we see him out there as well, because that was a little scary. But it's, you know, they're good in the back end. So we're, you know, that's a concern for us, and being able to, you know, get open and get disconnected and make sure that our, you know, our precision is not, you know, too much deterred.
Thanks, Ryan.
You got it.
Next question from Dan Steenkamer. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Rob. Coach Cardi, oftentimes coming off of byes, you know, we discuss how self-scouting went and just things of that nature. But with such a small sample size so far this year, was that a little bit trickier to self-scout, or kind of what was the biggest point of emphasis maybe over the course of the open date?
You guys see my Andy Tally getting the game, Yeti? Hey, now. Be the match. You know, yeah, we probably did less of that, Daniel, than we usually do. You know, it was more about focusing on continuing to get our practice habits right, continuing to focus on A&T a little bit more. It was a little bit, you know, more about getting the young guys reps than it was about, okay, well, we've been, you know, we've had too many runs out of 12 personnel. We needed some passes in there. Like, we only had one game, so the statistics, the you know, the scale of those statistics is going to be obviously skewed. So, you know, that's something we'll probably do a lot more of next bye week. You know, we have one later. I think it's October, maybe even into November. It's in that, you know, late 7-8 range. That's when I think that will really help us. We can get into, you know, the ins and outs of, okay, where are our tendencies? How can we break them? Or what can we lean into a little bit more? What's been great for us and what's been bad for us? What can we kind of, you know, step back and check out? Because there's sometimes when you're in it and you're just going through the monotony of game planning over and over again, you don't necessarily take that bird's eye view and be like, oh, hold up, this isn't working as well as we thought it was. And we keep throwing it in the game plan. And so those are things that can help you as you get later in the season on a bye week.
All right, Ryan, thanks so much for doing this morning. Look forward to talking again next week.
You got it. Appreciate you guys.